It's Sunday morning, April 3rd.
Well, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service today.
Yes.
That your spirit would flow, that we would receive your truth. Receive your truth, Lord. That it would have a real impact on us. Not just make us feel good for a while, but have an impact on us. Make us what you want us to be, Lord. That we would be a tool in your hands, cause that good work to be done, and have today's service be a step in that process.
Yes.
Amen.
I would like to announce that that Pablo and Candy have a new grandson.
What?
That was kind of a sneaky way of saying something else.
Something else that is also not public yet. So if you all can forget that.
Yeah, hey, just forget it for a second. So was it a boy?
We don't know.
A boy.
We have no details.
That was one that Angel asked to share herself publicly. So
I'll wait.
Maybe she lost a lot of weight quickly. You know what? If she wanted to tell people herself, she shouldn't have told anybody in the family then.
Yeah, I will be surprised when she tells me.
Yes, she lost a lot of weight and everything's golden and great. There's no big news in any direction.
But that's good that everything's fine.
She lost a lot of weight in the most gracious goodness of God. Everything is perfect in her weight loss. It all went smooth with her weight loss.
Okay,
it's
great.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Yes. Okay.
So anyway, open mouth, insert foot again.
It's okay.
But it's totally true that if you don't want people to find out something, don't tell them.
That's our privilege when we get older.
Well, if anybody can spill the beans, it's me. Yeah. I'm good at it. But I didn't know that there was a reason not to.
You know what? That's the privilege and the things that we go through as grandparents and great grandparents. And until someone is a grandparent or a grandparent, they can't appreciate that feeling.
When you get to be this old, you can forget easy.
No, but you also get extra excited easily. Yeah, I get that.
There's scriptures that I live by, and I talk about all the time, and I encourage people to live by them, and whatever. And I fail at that, you know what I mean? And it's really not a... When I live by them, it feels good. But when I don't, there's something in me that when I don't, I'm okay. I'm okay.
That's too bad.
And I don't encourage myself, you know, to keep not going by the scriptures. But something I've learned, I feel like it, maybe you guys have learned this in the past, you know, on your own. But I learned myself through the Holy Spirit, I believe, that when I fail at God's word, at the scriptures, at what He wants me to do, or how to behave, or how to act, or whatever, don't look at other people to see what other people are doing. So, well, I know what they're doing either, so I'm good. That is not that approach.
Yeah.
Because I was saying, you know what, just because it's going to hell too, it's all something. You know what I mean? That's not it. There is not, and other thing that I felt a strong Holy Spirit. It's like whatever scripture it is, doesn't matter. And when I can't live by it, don't try to twist it. The Bible says, don't twist the scripture to your own destruction. Don't twist the scripture to justify your behavior.
Mm, amen.
You know what I mean? Just accept it. You know what?
Yes.
I failed, and I'm not gonna stop talking about those scriptures. I'm gonna keep talking about the scriptures. I'm gonna keep encouraging people to live by them.
Lord, yes.
And I'm gonna keep talking to myself about to live by them. But if I fail, I'm not gonna stop talking about that. I'm not gonna, because the scripture is still true. Not because I fail at it changes the scripture. The scripture is still true. And actually, that knowing that I fail and embracing, is that embracing the word? It's just embracing the fact that I failed. I use it to my advantage and say, Lord, I failed. You know, forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You know what I mean? Just use it to your advantage. Mm-hmm. You can. You can use it to your advantage when you fail. The scripture says you will fail. There's no shame in failure. There's no shame. The scripture says there's no condemnation to those that live by the Spirit, and Jesus is not here to condemn you. Jesus says, not for sure, he's like, I'm not going to condemn you. He said, I'm going to sin no more. Okay, we'll give it a good try. If you sin again, no condemnation, and go and sin no more. I'm not encouraging to keep sinning or whatever, but I am encouraging to know that there's no condemnation. I'm encouraging to know that the scripture is still true, even if you fail to it. What the scripture says, it doesn't change because you can't live by it. And don't try to change the scripture or look at other people to see what they're doing. You know, and that's how we grow, I suppose. That we get strength, and maybe eventually we'll be able to live with the scriptures that we talk about or share with people or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And if we don't, it's kind of not my problem, really. Because there's a Savior. There's a Jesus. He came, and I've said this so many times, and I tell all people, Jesus did not come to keep me from sinning. Jesus came to save me from sinning. And that is what's so great.
Amen. Yeah. No, that's good.
Good.
You know, it is such a fine line there between, Lord, I need your grace, and boy, I really feel comfortable with this situation that I'm in. You know, needing your grace. I do think the ways that I fall short, I want that thing still to be a pebble in my shoe. I don't want to get comfortable with falling short of what he wants me to do, even though I might have lived with that pebble for quite a while. You know, and I'm not going to take that pebble out. It's going to be the Lord that removes that pebble from my shoe. But boy, I want to be aware of it. I want to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I want to be uncomfortable with the ways that I am falling short. But also recognizing, you're going to fall short. You need the grace of the Lord. It's as easy as that. Yeah. Anyway. Don't start pretending. Don't start pretending or comparing yourself with other people. Hoo, hoo, hoo. You know, that's just a bad idea. That's what I got to say on that subject.
I think the important thing is just to not linger on feeling condemned, because a lot of times, you know, it's you get in a bad state of mind after you feel like a failure or not living your way you're supposed to as a Christian, and you lose your cool and something, and then you get discouraged and feel condemned, because that's what the enemy wants, for you to feel condemned and like you can't come to the Lord because you failed and you're angry and you don't feel like good enough, and then you just say, well, you know what, I'm failing anyways. Like, and then that makes a person not come back because they feel that condemnation from the enemy and not the love from the Lord.
Yeah, that's right, amen. Mm-hmm.
It makes it easier, though, to understand other people when you have that pebble, you know? Mm-hmm. You've got that thing that you can relate and see, like, oh, wow, they're going through that, or see something from their perspective because, like, you've been there. So it's a little easier when somebody does something to you then to relate. And that's kind of what it says that Jesus did by suffering. He can understand and forgive us our suffering because he was equally tempted. And that stuff, so it makes it a lot easier to love your neighbor as yourself when you realize, I got that failure in me. That's a failure in them. They're giving in to the devil. They're not trying to hurt me. They gave in to temptation. That's their sin they carry now. It makes it a lot easier to forgive and change your heart's position to love.
Mm-hmm.
It helps with judgment. That has helped me a lot because, somebody might be doing or not doing something, and I'm like, no, what other me? I'm doing or not doing something. That's what people are, you know what I mean? So it has, through the years, it's helped a lot with not judging. And, there's a scripture, and I kind of, that's kind of my view of myself, at least. So Jesus says, harlots and tax collector enter the kingdom of heaven before you Pharisees or you come. And then because harlots and tax collectors believe in him. They believe him. And basically he said, and the church couldn't care any less. So I actually I do have this thing in my someplace. I wanna talk to the harlots, I'm gonna talk to the tax collectors or whatnot with the church, but that's who I want my audience to be, you know, the ones that may seem dirty and wrong or whatever to us, at least, you know, we are dirty as everybody else. And that's who I think that it's who I will want to talk. And I believe that they are going to have open ears and open hearts, you know. So that obviously they can't go judge. Can you imagine you're going to go preach or talk or share anything to somebody that's in a horrible, sinful place and you start telling them, oh, you've got to change your ways? No, you just preach Jesus. I mean, if Jesus changes it, he does. Or if he doesn't, he doesn't. But starting sharing anything to anybody about changing your ways and pointing fingers or whatever, it's not, I don't think, it's not a good start to share anything, you know. Mm-hmm. Just preach Jesus, not preach about doing what I think is wrong. I mean, how am I better than a harlot, or how am I better than a drunk, or how am I better than anybody, you know what I mean? I have to repent as much, my sins might be different, but I'm still a sinner, you know. So,
amen.
I want to read a couple scriptures from Hebrews. I think it kind of gives it for instance. I'm going to start back at 5 where it doesn't seem like it's part of it, but verse 5 of chapter 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Now here's where it's, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obeyed him. So even Christ was always fighting against that thing that we fight against. You know, you know, so it's encouraging to know that the one who can help you got through it, you know, and went through it.
This is what was on my heart this morning in the last few days. I just read to Grandpa the other day in that the relation he can understand.
Yes.
So fantastic.
It says that, I mean, you quoted that earlier. It says that he understands because he's had them all that temptation has been put against him also.
Right.
He just, fortunately, came out on top.
He did a little better with him.
Yes.
He does way better than me.
But he, you know, it's like he didn't start out perfect.
Right.
It says he had to be perfected. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And I think there's another place that says kind of something on that origin besides the improvements.
That really changes the perspective of who Jesus is rather than like worshiping a God who was perfect and came perfect and. If you know, if you're watching a movie and you know it's a God who's doing a thing or the person in power and you already know they know what's going on, it's not as much of a sacrifice if you're the one doing it, you know what I mean, and whatever. But to know that he really just loved and understood and that it's possible, like that changes my how I feel loved. Like, wow, like he suffered for me for real. That is such a love. That's such a love. Sometimes I don't want to walk up the stairs. My kids. You know what I mean? I love how much he loves me.
And if Jesus can be perfected, so can we.
Right.
That's the encouragement. Even though we fall short. What I was touched by, and it's sort of been echoed by Pablo's testimony, was how he'd been able to get past the condemnation that comes with failure. I mean, you go to enough churches, you will feel bad about screwing up. You sit there long enough, they'll tell you you need to feel bad. And in fact, if you're not feeling bad, that in itself is a failure. You should feel bad about your failures. You know? And, well, you shouldn't be looking for it, like Romans. You know, heavens, no, far be it. You know, should we continue sin? No, that's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's saying, in spite of this, God can still allow me. And in spite of this, I can still bring forth the good news. Mm-hmm. And so, acknowledge that we have a problem. Acknowledge that we're not perfect. Look forward to the fact that we can be perfected, as Scripture tells us, and go forward.
Mm-hmm.
You have to exercise great humility before you can even do that, though, too.
Tremendous.
Yeah, that's the number one prayer I send out is to humble me constantly.
It does take humility, you're right.
Yeah, and that comes from a good understanding. You know, there used to be a song that we played that we don't play as often, but the revelation of who he is and who we are. You know, I keep reminding myself of that. Whenever I think I've sort of really done good, I just have to dwell on that and go, not so good. Long way from the goal. So, but yeah, you're exactly right.
It's tough, too.
Mm-hmm. You've got to overcome a lot of things in yourself to have that humility, because a lot of the things that the enemy puts in us are designed to drive us away from God, and that with a lot of internal pride and being responsible for a lot of things that really aren't in your control, and defending things that you don't need to defend, and upholding the staff, you know, especially being a man, a lot of times that gets to us, the slack from the devil, not being some sort of warrior for our community.
Correct. Trying to keep your sword sheathed.
Yep.
That's very hard when you're naturally a fighter.
Yep.
In my natural self.
Mm-hmm. You know what? And then you throw some turmoil in there. And what does that do? Well,
yep.
The sword's drawn, but you don't need to draw your sword. Sometimes I draw my sword, and there's never good. It's never good. That's not what the Lord wants. Trust in Him. Every time you know what, I know this. I know it every time, and sometimes my pop pops, my top pops, and it's just, it's not good. And it's a weakness more than anything, because the Lord rewards our humility and us surrendering to Him, and He takes care of us when we do that. And I know that personally, and still sometimes I find myself losing control and then trying to take actual control through physical things, and you know what, that just manifests demonic things, because once you get taken to that place, then it's just like an absolute free-for-all with the negative thinking.
It's interesting we kind of hone in on it, but scholars check me here, but the only time I recall in Jesus' ministry where a sword is drawn, that dude gets rebuked.
Mm-hmm.
Put that away.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny though, because he told him to bring one.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, we have two. Yeah, that's enough. Okay.
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. But then again, it showed that part of Jesus that, you know, when Peter reacted, well, he said, no, I can take care of that. You know, and show the guy that got his ear cut off that he had compassion for him. Even though he was one of them that came to take him away, you know.
What's really been on my heart, too, with this is when then after Jesus goes and all the people are saying stuff against him that's not true, and He says, okay, why aren't you defending yourself? Don't you know I have the power to kill you or release you? And he says, you don't have any power unless it was given to you.
Right.
And what a awesome mindset. Like, I want that mindset that what is this ridiculous storm thing going on in my life? This isn't going to be here unless God's letting it be here. So who cares? Whatever this thing is, you're not so scary. You know, this big terrifying thing is just a little mouse with a flashlight. You know, that's what's cast in the big shadow. And that's truly the situation if we know that God's in control. And that's why in jail, in a lion's den, on a cross, wherever it is, they could find joy and peace because they believed that God was in control. That belief. And I won it.
Yes, amen.
So I'm going to keep talking about it. Don't make me look at there.
You know, Daniel, when he was in that lion's den, didn't pick up a spear and try to kill those lions before they killed him.
Right.
And I don't know, if I was in the same situation, knowing me and the things that I fail at, which is that type of fighting thing, I would have picked up a spear,
mm-hmm.
and I would have paid the price for it, because the Lord ain't going to protect that.
If He truly wants you to do something and you don't want to, you can fight it, but He'll send a whale or a storm or a, you know, any of those things. And on the opposite, if you just believe, you can walk on water until you start thinking about the belief.
Mm-hmm.
I want to start believing so much that I don't have to think about, do I believe this or how can I take care of it myself? I don't want to trust in God, whatever He's going to do, to this extent. And then I'm uncomfortable, so I'll do these things if He doesn't intervene, you know? I don't want to keep doing that natural human thing. I really want that belief that whatever He is doing, it's good. It is good. This is good too. Joy, glory. Glory that I'm suffering. Glory that I'm going through this. Make it quicker. Make it good.
You know, revel in that valley, right?
Yeah. Whatever it is. Well, if I find joy there too, then He'll reward that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's what He says. So He will. He will.
You know, when you said, if I believe, I can walk on water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to relate it. I had a little vision. I don't know what it was. A dream type thing. And in it, it was like the thing that was conveyed, it wasn't that, you know, we could all walk on water, but it
it was like for the one, the water was just calm. And it was like God would get us to where our faith was so strong that you didn't think about it. You know, like if you believe, you walk on water. And it was like, so you just, it just showed you could walk on water. And it wasn't a big deal. You didn't have to get yourself worked up. You just had that faith that, you know, like Peter had for a few seconds, you know, can just go on. And then it was like, so it showed the water real calm, and I don't know if it showed me walking on it or anything, but it just implied that we'd be walking. But then after that, all of a sudden I went up, and there was a, like, it seemed like the face of a cliff with trees and whatever, and I was just going up through there, and it was like proclaiming the word of the Lord. You know, I don't know how that, why that was in there, but it was, so there was, I suppose, victory because of faith, you know. And, I keep reminding myself, and I say it a lot to these guys when we're talking, that we always, we are so quick to, I mean, and it's our flesh, it is so strong, that we always say, well, it could be, but or maybe it'll be someday. Well, no. With the Lord, it can be. You know, and I know I stop myself short all the time because I just don't accept that He can do it. You know, can do whatever. And we second guess ourselves, you know, and we keep thinking, well, because we're human, we can. Yeah, you're right, you're human, you can. But God says, I can. Through you, with you, whatever. And we got to start really letting that keep sinking in to build the faith that's going to start doing things that He wants done. You know, that makes sense. But
and the faith that He wants us to have.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He wants it.
You're right. And, you know, I was just like, well, yeah, we should pray for healing, but probably won't. Well, right there, you know, that's ridiculous. You got to just think that it will. And that's God's will, one way or another. That's another big one. You know? His will. His will be done. And you have to really know that.
Right. I was talking to somebody earlier this week about healing, and it struck me because I am stubborn when it comes to certain things about, I just know God can do anything, but according to His will. So I can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray that everybody will stay alive forever. And then they don't. So was my prayer not answered? No, because God's will. So I got to, you know, keep all my children safe and healthy, God's will. But I was talking to somebody, and it made me realize that there is, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of, I don't know, you call them Trinitarians, call them whatever you want, but Christians as a whole believe that God may humble himself, make himself a baby. I've heard many, many things, and dwelt among us. Okay, so whatever. But by doing that, and I'm not shaming them, but my feeling, it's not a pointing fingers, judgment, shame, but my feeling is, if that's your thought, then your belief or the power of what Jesus can do, you don't even realize. You know, and so this person, we were talking about healing, and they said, well, you know, if Jesus was alive today, walking among us, He would just lay hands on so-and-so, and they would be healed. But He's not alive today to do that. So we have to use other hands. He uses other people. And you know what? He does use people. He does use people to help us, you know, whatever. In His way of healing, in His way of encouragement, and you got a sore back, let me rub that for you. But the comment of, well, if Jesus was alive today, He would walk among us and heal Charlie and heal you and heal, just like that. But He's not alive today to do that, so He wants to use other people. And I got floored by that comment because this person, I'm very encouraged by their faith and whatever. But when they made that comment, I thought, Oh, they maybe when they get to heaven, they don't believe they're going to see nail scarred hands on Jesus. Maybe they're going to go and they, because I know when I get to heaven, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to feel Jesus. But I also, here on earth, I feel Jesus.
Yeah, well, he's innocent. So
right. So what do you mean? And he says greater things. So I feel that so many Christians miss out on walking on water, and so many, and I fail too. But I think that so many people don't grasp, because they're like, well, Jesus was here doing his thing, but now he's up in heaven.
Is this person a Trinitarian? Because, I mean,
I don't.
A Trinitarian would say Jesus is God, so God is.
I don't think. I'm not saying he or she, but I don't think that they are. I don't think that they are. But and they have been around some of us before, so I don't think that they are. But I thoroughly believe that whether you're Trinitarian or you're in some big mega church, people believe that, well, if Jesus was here, he would lay his hands on Charlotte. But he's not here, so Charlotte's just going to sit and try and guess what's wrong with her. But if Jesus was here, he would be able to just heal her like that. Jesus is here! And so I feel sad, and like I said, I fail all the time, but I feel sad that for people that actually don't have the ability to believe that Jesus is here. He is walking among us. We just can't physically feel him. You know, but anyways, it just took me off guard, because this person is very trusted by many. And when I heard them say that, I thought, that's the spirit that you're ministering to other people with. That was a little bit concerning for me. So
I think that Jesus said before he rose, I'm pretty sure it was before he rose to heaven, he said to his disciples, and this scripture came to me this week, because I needed it, he says, I will be with you always. Think about that. I will be with you always. So, Eli is sick. That's why there's Manoah, and he's miserable. He's miserable. Plus, in through the few couple of weeks, if he hasn't been feeling good, and he's like, no, God, I don't feel good. No, he said, God, I need deliverance. He said, oh, okay. There it goes, and I never prayed for him. You know what I mean? Just whatever. And then he said it again. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know what I mean? Nothing. And then I said, I need to pray for my son. He's suffering. He's actually like the definition of suffering. He's suffering. He can't breathe. He can't sleep. His nose is flat out. He can't move. He's got like 5 inches. And when I prayed for deliverance for him, I thought, you know, well, maybe I don't have right or whatever, but Jesus is with me always. I pray for Eli, he's right here, and I will use his authority and his everything, not mine, you know, and that helped me in my prayer, knowing that Jesus was with me always. I pray for him. And, you know, because of whatever, I'm expecting a manifestation, and there was no manifestation, nothing, but he did say, he said, I'm depressed, he said, he just kept praying. But he said, I don't know what happened, I have to keep praying. I told him, you have to keep praying, but you wouldn't think he was depressed, because I'm a good dad, right? She's a good mom, and we take care of him. And the scriptures have not stopped in his bed from since, I don't know, 20 years? I mean, he doesn't turn them off. He listens, and when we go to work, dad, we pray, once for sure, likely twice a day or whatever. How can he be depressed? But you know what? I know how. There's a devil there. He's a roaring lion. He's seeking for you to devour. So he's not going to devour the bad guys. He's going to devour whoever. And it was so hard for me to to hear that, but through the prayer, through me casting what I didn't know what spirit, you know, sickness, it manifested, you know, I'm depressed, he said. And so now at least we know how to address it, and we're going to keep praying, because, you know, you have to keep praying.
The depression is the physical, but his spirit is still there.
Mm-hmm.
So you pray that the spirit will take over,
mm-hmm,
and heal the flesh. I get depressed often.
Mm-hmm.
I get anxious. I experience all those things, but I know my spirit is healthy and is there, and that's what gets me through.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And Candy, this woman, maybe she's just thinking of Jesus physically being here. And maybe she still believes that, you know, if he's in her spirit. But she's saying, if he were physically here,
mm-hmm,
you know. So maybe she isn't totally wrong. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we misinterpret word meanings. And that's what I thought of too right away when she said living. And I thought, yeah, when he was back before he was crucified, he walked the earth and healed people. And this, and I thought, well, maybe that's what she was referring to. That's what I thought. Now, I have no way of knowing what she thought. But that's, see, you can look at it one way and look at it another way, and you can see it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I don't know.
That's why we don't judge. Because we don't know.
Well, see, I think that's the trick of the enemy, where because you can think, well, because he isn't here, that kind of lets us off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you don't believe that you can be perfect because Jesus was, well, because he's God. If you believe that he's God, and that's because I told the guys at the meeting the other night, when I was in catechism, I went, well, if Jesus is God, there's no way I can be like him. See ya, and I was out of there. And then I just went and lived my life however I wanted for a while until he said that's enough. But, you know, so it's I don't know if that's kind of an excuse to be out of it. But I tell you, I don't know how many times I say, Lord, why does Charlotte got to go through all of this? You know, and then I pray and just keep saying, your will be done, you know, because I don't know why.
And then she shows up again on this Sunday.
I think we're at where God wants us to be at. Mm-hmm. And he will bring us to where he needs us to be and wants us to be.
Fact is,
sometimes we make a decision, but still, go ahead, Carolyn, sorry.
We're not in heaven until we're in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, we just, things go bad here. It's as easy as that. It connects with Eli. Those are tough years that he's in. You know, those are hard. And would you really want to have it lived a life in which you didn't experience depression? Is that really what you want? I don't think you would want that. I want, not that you want to dwell there, but to be totally unfamiliar with what depression is.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to understand when someone else is going through it. Also, you know, we were talking about walking on water. I haven't done that recently. But I don't believe that the place that we are in right now and the place where we walk on water has that much of a... There's not that much distance to that place. There's no big wall that between where we are right now and the place that we walk on water. It's just It's not that far away, and it's not that hard to get to. You know, that's. And of course, it's not walking on water, but it's.
It's something big.
Yeah, right. Dude, whatever, yeah. whatever.
It is to come.
No big deal if you ever walk on water, but if your faith is there, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, and then it'll carry you out to other things that are a big deal, you know.
You know, I was thinking, you know, the Lions and all that. We also, I mean, why are we in the Lions then? What got us there? Is it for the sake of the gospel? Is it for the kingdom of God's sake? Or because we were jumping into somebody's house to steal? You know what I mean? If it's for the kingdom of God's sake, well, you might still be getting eaten by lions, but on walking on water. I mean, why do you want to walk on water? For what reason?
That's exactly.
And then the scripture says, a lot of us are there, but the scripture says, you ask and you don't receive, because you want to spend it in your own lust. This is I'm just going to use the walk on water. It's like, okay, we want to walk on water. Why? So we can want to show off, so we don't walk on water. Or we want to get to, so we can mow our lawn across the water. But if it's for the, I don't know, but if it's for the kingdom of God's sake, it's a different thing. And another other reason sometimes when we pray, we have to have faith. I have enough faith. Can you, when I'm in need of something from God, can you say, the scripture says, Jesus says, according to your faith, let it be to you. And I don't have the faith when I'm praying. But also, like I said, you ask and you don't receive because you might spend it in your own lust. It's because it's for your own purposes. But Jesus also says, and this is huge, I believe. He says, the Bible is full of promises. You know, you will have this, you will have this, you can do this, you can do all this. But, he says, Jesus says, by your traditions, you have made the word of God of no effect.
Mm.
So all these places that says you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do all this with God, your traditions can void on all those scriptures. That's why we are after something as well. You know, I hear it all the time, long time on the back. Your promises, say this, your promises. Yes, but we have traditions that we haven't gotten rid of them. So all those promises are no effect.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the traditions are, that God show us, you know. But that is the reason why we seek God's something and we don't receive it. It's not because God is failing. His word is still true. Everything he said is still true. It's not becoming true because we have traditions. You know what I mean? We have decided to learn from a man. You know, I'm not pointing to any of you, but as humans, we want to learn from man all these things from God. And that's so wrong. People go to church every Sunday and they just learn from a man every day. Even if he's preaching perfectness, you have to learn from God. That's a huge tradition that kills the word of God. It just kills it.
Yeah.
Whereas powerful as the word of God is, everything was created by the word of God. You can kill it with your traditions of no effect. So sometimes we ask and we want to believe the scripture, but we also have half of our body believe that Jesus was not here or not on earth or whatever. So I need to grow in that for sure. I have things that I need to unbelieve. You know, when I pray for Eli, I say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, that I there's no shame. I have unbelief. But I'm not seeking walking on water. I'm not seeking these things. I don't need to show nothing to nobody. And a couple of weeks ago, I was also thinking, you know, we desire all what Jesus did, you know, laying hands on the sick and all that stuff. But just think about it for a second. Can you imagine if we did exactly what Jesus did? We pray for somebody and they come out of their grave, moving, praying for who knows what, and it, is, it happens immediately, we pray for the fig tree or whatever. If we did that, through being persecution daily, do you think that people are going to worship us and be so happy with us? There will be jealousy, like they had with Jesus. In a way, we don't want that, because we will be persecuted, to death. Yeah, we want it. But we have to have a strength in us that we are going to have to be able to deal with that. You're going to be hated. You know, you want to raise someone from the dead, everyone's going to hate you. It's going to seem like people are going to like you.
Yep.
No one's going to hate you.
Yeah,
yes. And they crucified Jesus, or whatever it said, out of jealousy. They were jealous. It's not that they thought that he was preaching bad stuff. They were jealous because he was doing all this great stuff. You know, the Romans are going to take our temple or whatever it is. You know, so.
I had the Lord show me, for me, he gave me this little test, and he said, okay, if you go raise somebody from the dead, or you go heal somebody, or you bring a revelation of truth, and nobody ever says it came from you, can you handle that? You know? You never get your name mentioned for it. And people are repeating it, and they're giving testimonies of it, and they never mention you. Are you okay? Be okay with that? That's what's helped me, because I actually was dealing with some of that stuff because I was getting a little jealous of, you know, something, somebody, whatever, you know. And then I finally got to where, and there was times when I wanted to say, oh yeah, that's what I said, and I just said, no, shut up. You can't say that, you know. And you just, because it's God's truth. You know, and that's, you've got to really get that in your head. You didn't do anything, so what are you looking for, you know? It's true. You want it to benefit whoever. And I think that's going to be one step when we collectively get to that point. You know, it's going to be a whole different atmosphere, you know?
One thing he demands of us, though, is to do that without seeking any boastful or pride or anything like that.
Yeah.
So
right.
If it does happen, it was demanded to begin with. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll take my glory.
Yep.
Right.
I remember an instance when we had women's prayer meeting. And our group prayed, and another group prayed, and a comment was made, well, we prayed too.
Exactly.
We shouldn't be taking credit for it. They kind of caught me up, and that's kind of what you're saying, I think. Is
yeah.
No credit. I can't take any credit for it.
Any good deed I'm supposed to do is to bring glory to Him, not myself. That is a tough pill to swallow, too. But
and we do have the perfect example of Jesus continually gave credit to who? Yeah, His Father. Everything I do
is for
Father gave. It came from my Father. He said to me, He created it, whatever.
The most humble rock star of a man I ever met who was able to do just everything. Said it all comes from my Father. It's all done for Him. That is not me. He says, trust me, if it were up to me, I would be exhausted and would not be able to carry anything. And I was like, wow.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about a pebble in the shoe, and I've been thinking about it now. Maybe we should thank God for having a pebble in our shoe. Because if pebble is going to irritate you from walking. You're going to slow down, you're going to stop, and you're going to take the pebble out of your foot. And then you're going to stop and think, God wants you to do this. You're not going the way I want you to. So we'll put a bigger pebble in your shoe next time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. But it was me that said that.
We take so much for granted that we don't realize what God is doing for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But you are a work in progress, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I have this pebble in my shoe.
It's thorn in my side.
I have a pebble in each shoe.
And you know, I have some areas that it's like a thorn. I am right at this point grateful. Because it's home for quite a while to where it really gets to be second nature, you know. And so I don't like it, but I know why it's there. And it's to change you, you know.
So what we say becomes true.
And then you judge a whole lot less. That's the great part about it.
Yeah.
Get rid of judgment.
I was thinking this morning, Jesus dying on the cross, and I was thinking, he did so much more than that. When you think about it, he took a beating for us, humiliated. You know, there was a lot more done that we overlook, you know.
Praying all night.
But, you know, the punishment he took and all that, you know, it was more than just dying on the cross. Mm-hmm. See, now Easter's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it just ran through my mind that, yeah, there was so much more to it.
Sorry. Yes. Pablo, earlier you were talking about the traditions of men kind of nullifying the work of God. And we think of traditions as being... like how what the Lutherans do with the tablecloth that they do communion on, and the best way of laundering that thing, and what you do with the extra bread that doesn't get eaten. We think of those as being the traditions, but I think the real tradition that we have to be concerned about is the worldly tradition of not having natural unfolding according to scientific principles, where we just don't have a God that performs miracles. We live in the natural realm. You know, that is the assumption of the world, and I think those are the traditions that hinder us from expecting God to respond to our faith. It robs us of faith, so that God's will be done. It's that assumption that the world has that things just go according to the mundane, natural way of it, without any participation in the supernatural. I think that's the tradition.
Not believing God is a tradition. I was, you know, he was talking to, I don't think he was talking to, he has to be talking to the Pharisees or something.
Mm.
He was talking to the church. I don't think he was talking to the world or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, anything that makes you believe not the Bible, it comes from a tradition, you know, that something you've been hearing on and on. And yes, you know,
what kind of strikes me in a lot of the things we've been sharing today is how easy it is for the enemy to get in there and cause doubt. I mean, I suffer from lack of faith, praying for someone who's sick and going, you know, we're going to pray for a miracle. And I go, well, God could do a miracle. I just don't know if he's going to do this one. You know, and then the enemy gets in there, well, then are you really helping? Are you actually hindering God from working? And so then you're going, well, maybe I shouldn't be praying for this person, because if I'm not perfect about how I'm praying, I could actually be negative towards the, you know, and I don't want to do that, because my heart is not to be a hindrance here. My heart is to be good. And then, you know, you finally go, you got to stop listening to the noise. The enemy can get in there. So you pray for someone. Nothing happens. Well, is that a lack of faith in your part? No, that wasn't God's plan, because what you were praying for wasn't what God wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so don't pray for someone and just say, well, God's going to do it. Is God going to do whatever God's going to do? Or is God going to change what he's going to do because I prayed for that person? Well, I don't think I'm that important, so I think God's going to do what he's going to do. But my point is, if you listen to all the, you know, the point and the counterpoint, and this didn't happen because I didn't have enough faith, I don't know that you want to listen to that either. I mean, I don't have enough faith because I don't walk on water or whatever else you want to throw up there. Well, can you do this? How many people from the dead have you raised? You know, blah, blah, blah. You go, you just have to try, as we were saying earlier, Josh was saying, you've got to remain humble and let God do what God's going to do, and then acknowledge that I'm a work in progress, and not let the enemy get in there and mess with you. Because, and I'm probably more susceptible to this than maybe some other of you are, I literally will sit down and go through the 52 decision tree thing on an analyst, go, and finally, where I got to, it's God, and it's not me. So I mean, I walked around, one of my favorite mantras is, the greater I can make God, and the less I can make me, I'm walking on the right path. In everything. In my prayer, in my walk, I mean, I am here, and he is here, and I just have to keep reminding myself, that's okay, because God will get me where I need to be if I stay after him. I mean, I have to keep, you know, day and night diligently seeking him, you know, trying to do the right things, acknowledging I'm going to fail. You know, and just, but I listened to our conversation today, and I'm going, someone's listening to this and go, man, these people are all over the map. I mean, what's your takeaway from today? Well, God is good. And we're not. And we want to be better. And we know we're not. And we know that we can be there because it's possible. Because God got there. Jesus got there. Okay. Good. So it's really not, well, it may seem really disappointed. It's actually not. I mean, be encouraged. Because I think the Spirit is here. And he's talking to us. If you just keep an ear to hear. And not disengage the brain. Just kind of let the Spirit work.
You know, it said you never raised anybody from the dead, right?
I haven't yet.
No, but how many times have you prayed for that person?
Yeah. Well, I just haven't found the right candidate. It's really close, you know.
I've sat in the back of a funeral setting and went, Lord, don't say walk up there.
Yes. I have got that many times in my life, and my mom. I remember my mom, different times, of like, well, I should go up and lay hands on him. I'm like, no, not today. No, not right now.
That was yesterday's planning. You missed it.
So embarrassing.
That's a big one.
Yeah, but Jesus did it. He literally did that. He walked into where they were there, and they're like, no, the guests are already here. We're mourning. And he's like, I said she's going to live. Like, this is how we leave. Everyone go outside. And the father did. And she did. That's the walk on water I want to get to.
Is there a scripture, I could have this little bit turned around, that Jesus was going to pray for someone and he asked the unbelievers to leave their room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what Kurt will say, but remind me of that, but I wonder if I was there, if Jesus would have me to leave or would have me to stay. You know what I mean?
Right now,
I don't know what was going on there. He asked everybody to leave except for the parents.
Okay.
I don't know if it was because they were, I mean, they had just demonstrated unbelief by laughing at him when he said she was just sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, laughed at the scorn. He cleared out the room except for the parents. A little ambiguity going on there.
Yeah, I couldn't remember it.
There might be, but we should look for it.
Yeah.
But there's another one when he goes to a town, and he said, he only did a few miracles because of the unbelief.
Right.
And then the guy goes mixed up a little bit.
Well, there was that one setting where they were not real happy with what was going on, and he basically said, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. I mean, paraphrasing. Which to me was interesting because it implied even he sensed that if the faith wasn't there, he wouldn't be able to do those type of things. And that power's coming from God, and God kind of said, well, we'll hold it.
I just keep hearing in my head that nevertheless your will be done. Like, that's the point I want my faith to get at, is anything I believe that nevertheless your will be done, and that is going to be done. And what I'm praying is going to be answered, you know?
Yeah, the example used is, you know, a little mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So then you kind of go, well, what does God want with me to move a mountain? I mean, how is that, you know? So the example is given, and you go, well, you know, obviously I don't have enough faith because I can't move Mount Everest, or whatever mountain we want to talk about. And they go, well, it's probably not God's will to move Mount Everest. So, you know, you got to get back to what it is that you're trying to demonstrate your faith in, and is that God's will?
And I think he's going to bring us more and more to the knowledge of what his will is. Because Jesus said, he said something, but I have only come to do the will of my Father. You know? And so I think we can slowly get to know the will more often, you know? And then you can act on it. If he says, go pray, you know, or go whatever.
And then just a quick full note to that. I mean, that is exactly what has to happen, because, you know, Jesus pretty much told me, you don't even know how to pray. So whatever it is you think you want to pray for, he said, you don't even know how to pray. And that's when he gave us the Lord's Prayer. I mean, so it's clear that without a little help, a.k.a. a ton of help, we're not going to know God's will and God's heart and manners until he shows us.
You know, I consider myself a faithful man. But I also consider myself not having as much faith as a mustard seed either.
That's right.
That's a great spot to be. That's how you stay humble.
Yeah.
I think he faces you with it. He puts you in a lot of adversity to test your faith a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, I feel like it's especially me sometimes, but he does. And of course, I was just in an adverse situation, and I'm actually ashamed of how I reacted.
I think the seeds you guys were looking for when the people didn't have faith were Rosen and Bethsaida.
So what chapter, what good chapter?
In Matthew 11:20.
Matthew 11:20. That's good. That's good.
I want to be in a place where I recognize quickly when God is requiring me to do something and not struggle. Just be able to step out and recognize it as God and do it. And that will protect me from doing it in myself, for one thing. And for the other, things will get done. But I do. I want to be able to recognize God's will for me.
I think that had to do with repenting, right? At the end of it. He rebuked him because of all the works that he did, because they didn't repent. Which is on kind of the same level.
It is.
It is the same level. Of not believing, you know, they didn't believe his works.
Yep, that's faith, what it is.
Faith is, seems like faith is what we need, all of us.
Yeah.
I'm just, you can take a cup of faith, actually, and drink it. The Bible says, you know, faith comes by hearing God's word. And there's no other place that tells you how to obtain faith. There isn't in the Bible. If there is, I want to hear it. Do you want faith? You hear God's word. And then what happens if you're doing something in the middle of, then that faith quickly, I think, is you weaken it. You weaken it. And but faith does come by hearing God's word. You know, sometimes we want to bring faith, but, you know, you give faith and speak about things. And but I mean, if you're not persuaded by somebody raising from the dead, either you will be persuaded by God's word. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, most of the word of God. So.
Just, I think the exact scripture we were looking for before is Matthew 13:58, which says, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." And it was kind of, I think it was in his in or near his hometown, because, you know, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? You know, so it was kind of like where they knew of him before his ministry, and they got, it says nobody special. Because he had so, but it says that he did not many miracles. So I think it was near Jerusalem.
That was good, though.
Young man.
Yep.
Yeah, I appreciate that you were looking.
Yes.
I'm glad you found that part, because I was thinking of a verse earlier also where, and Jesus says it several times, he says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And he repeats that a few times. He says, "Oh, then, like, learn what this means." And then says, "If you would have known what this meant, you wouldn't have condemned the guiltless." And it actually is right after in the 12th chapter. So I only found it because you found this or brought it up. But I think that's super important, is we don't condemn each other. We understand, and even condemning ourselves is you're forgiven in your reaction, and don't condemn yourself. Give it to him. He desires mercy, not sacrifice. And on that, don't let that condemn you. Don't let the devil condemn you in your own stuff and have that guilt and torture.
Let me tell you my theory of prayer. For what it's worth, I think, you know, there's God's will. God's will that some things happen, and God's will that other things not happen. But out of that, out of God's will there, he carves out a portion of his will whereby if we don't pray for something, it won't happen. But if we do pray for that thing, it will happen. Carves out from that a portion of his will that is just plain dependent on whether we do or don't pray. You know? Or maybe pray in faith, or, you know. But anyway, and he does it to give us some skin in the game or whatever. You know? We're his arm extended, so he's gonna give us some power. You know, it's not but then there is also the part that he hasn't carved out, and we pray for it, and it's not gonna happen. It just wasn't in the part that he carved out. We don't pray for something, and it does go ahead and happen because that also was not part that was carved out that we had, you know. So, and then of course we don't have perfect wisdom as to what he has carved out and what he hasn't carved out. You know. So we pray for some things that, hey, that's not going to happen. It's just not, it's not within God's will that it happened, and it's not within the, what God said, you pray for it, it's going to happen. If you don't pray for it, it's not going to happen. You know. Now, take that for what it's worth. That's just Charlie acting recognized, but that's my theory.
Well, you don't know what prayer he's going to honor from time to time.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so you have to keep going forward with it. You know, even though you don't see the results of the prayer, you don't stop praying for people, because that's, you know, you got to just keep going forward, because week, 2 weeks, whatever, God might decide, well, it's time I do what they pray for now, you know, in his time. Not, we expect things to happen in our time, but our time is not his time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we pray for whatever, and it may seem that the prayer is not answered, but then we realize if it wasn't for this circumstances, this other good thing would have never happened. You know? Mm-hmm. So we have no idea. We're asking God, hey, this is what we like. But God is like, this is what you want. This is what you like. This is what's better for you. And that is so hard.
This is what you want, and this is what you need.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Even though he don't answer the prayer, he still appreciates it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because it's not answered, you know, doesn't mean you gotta quit.
You know, one scripture that I shared with Candy this week that I share all the time, and then which is this: it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. And then all of a sudden, it's like, what's better? It is better to trust in God. Why? Because sometimes we are looking for earthly victories, okay? But God, he's not earthly. He's not like us. God is thinking eternally, okay? So it is better to trust in the Lord no matter what. And it is because you have an eternal betterness, an eternal reward. Eternal. We don't think like God. God's coming logic is so far away from our logic. So it is, sometimes it feels like what it can be better. It is. It is better, and you're going to go through the mill or whatever they're saying is. It's going to be rough and hard. But eternally, it is better. It's always better. God's word is true. It's true.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
You all.